Welcome back to Defend Your Ship. And Reyna, are you ready to get wrecked?
But in a good way?
Yes, in a very good way. That's going to be our tagline. You'll have to hear that every single time you listen to one of our podcasts.
We're sorry.
No, we're not. So on this installment, I will be grilling Reyna on her signature ship.
I don't know if it's my signature.
Is that your signature? What would you call it?
I mean, well, I feel like Sailor Moon is my signature ship, but this
That's true. My
signature trash ship.
Like, your signature trash.
It's the one I'm most likely to defend while also admitting it's trash.
Bravo. I mean, you gotta have one. I have... wait. You know what? We talked about my trash ship last time, too. I think out of all of my ships, Axel and Roxas is my trash ship.
That's fair. That's valid.
All right. So these will be our trash ship episodes. That's what we're doing. That's the theme. All right. Theme decided. What kind of trash are you dishing out today?
My trash, I feel like, is actually... Oh. My trash, I feel like, is not... Well, it's pretty popular trash. I'm here today to talk about a little show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Wait, I don't think I have the rights to that. I'm sorry. Do we have the rights to banana?
It's fine. They can't understand what it is anyway. So anyway, Buffy the Vampire Slayer was a show that actually came out literally the same year that I found out about Sailor Moon. But I didn't watch until I was in college.
Oh, that's magical.
So take that as you will. So by the time I actually did watch Buffy and subsequently Angel, it was on Netflix in college. And it basically was one of those things that my fellow nerdy friends were like, you have to watch this.
I had the exact same experience. I didn't watch it until college.
I also didn't watch Firefly until college. Basically, yeah. I didn't know anything about any of the...
Oh, man. We couldn't even appreciate Joss Whedon until everybody else was done with him.
Well, yeah, like, that was the thing. I didn't really know Joss Whedon existed until Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was... Yeah, yeah. So anyway, getting off topic. I watched Buffy when the entire thing was on Netflix, as well as the entire thing of Angel. And so I basically went back and forth once season 3 ended, when Angel started, and went back and forth between the two different series. And I am one of those, I have a very complicated relationship to Buffy.
Ooh, tell me more.
So I'm one of those people, and I feel like depending on your position / gender / sexuality, this may be a hot take, but I'm one of those people that likes the Whedonverse without Whedon in it.
Yes, that would be the correct take.
Where basically I feel like Joss Whedon is one of those people that's really good at world building, and then he should hand it off to somebody else, and all those other people should do the rest of the work.
That's how I feel about all the work I do. I'd like to come up with the idea and hand it off to someone else. No one should be ashamed to do that, least of all Joss Whedon.
Yeah, because, I don't know, like, I understand that he was, like, a feminist icon in the 90s, because you basically... Anybody could be a feminist icon as long as you said, hey, women are people too. And it was the most shocking thing ever. But he has not aged well. And also doesn't believe in bisexuality or pansexuality or any of that stuff, while also somehow making one of the most queer shows of the 90s, where everybody is sort of thinly veiled as queer.
I'm sorry, he doesn't what? He doesn't believe in bisexuality.
Well, so he's never actually come out and say, I don't believe in bisexuality, but basically, he's never openly had a bisexual character. Like,
got it, okay.
So, even though, like, so, inside baseball for the Buffyverse for a second. So, Willow in the first 3 seasons dated a dude. And there's a lot of, like, going back and forth about whether or not she's a lesbian or bisexual. But basically, she starts dating Tara in the 4th season. And then she says, oh, well, I'm gay. And basically, even though she had a very healthy relationship with Oz, she suddenly is like, I'm never... And also had a crush on Xander. She suddenly is like, I'm never going to be attracted to a dude ever again.
Got it. Okay.
A lot of people see Faith as being bi, but she never actually comes out and says, I'm bi. And a lot of people argue about the Buffy and Faith ship and how Faith had a crush on Buffy.
Oh, So there are some things here that I kind of forget weren't canon. Specifically,
exactly,
Faith.
Because everybody, like, because in a modern day lens, like, if you watch Buffy and Angel, well, less so Angel, but Buffy, basically everybody is some sort of queer.
Yeah.
Like, even, like, that's the thing, like, vampires are mostly queer, because at that point they're like, they don't have a soul, like, why do we give a fuck about gender? Yet they never talk about any of the Fanged Four actually getting it on, except for that one thinly veiled reference at the end of Angel, where Spike says, me and Angel have never been intimate except for that one time.
Wait, okay.
That's literally the only reference they ever make to the Spike-Angel ship.
I feel like you were just dragging me for not watching Angel. Wow, I didn't know what I was missing. So, I knew I was missing the puppet episode, but I didn't know I was missing that.
Okay, I'm also one of those people that feel like the only things you really need to see... Well, season 4 is a train wreck for several reasons. Charisma Carpenter got kicked off the series, and basically everybody left to go work on Firefly. But season 5 is really the gem of all of them, because it's the one... Season 1 is good. That's when it crosses over with Buffy the most. But season 5 is my favorite season, because that's the one where Spike shows up. And so it's basically Spike and Angel in a sort of, like, not even good cop, bad cop, but, like, annoying the pants off each other relationship.
Oh no.
And this is the closest they ever get to before the comic books to talking about sort of polyamory, which is where I'm going with this.
Great, by all means, take us there. So this feeds into our next question. How did you start shipping them? And let's lay it out here. Tell us exactly who you want in this metaphorical bed ship.
So I guess, God damn it.
How many people are in this ship?
3 people in this ship. So I'm one of those people that believes that, Buffy, Spike, and Angel should just get over all of their ridiculous bullshit, get some therapy, and end up together.
I like the part where they have therapy.
Well, a friend of mine made a joke the other day that, like, their number one Buffy ship is Buffy and therapy. But I feel like that can extend to every Buffy character. They all fucking need therapy.
So much therapy.
But yeah, like, I feel like this has always sort of been, like, a thing of the Buffy fandom, where people are like, oh, well, I ship Angel and Spike. I ship Angel and Buffy. I ship Buffy and Spike. And I'm like, why don't they all just get together and be happy? Because they all have so much history with each other, and, like, well, Spike and Angel have history with each other because they've known each other since, like, forever, and Buffy has a relationship with Spike, and she has a relationship with Angel, and so it's, like, I'm not necessarily one of those people that are like, oh, Spike and Angel are in love, but they're not necessarily, like, they're definitely were attracted to each other, at least at one point. And I feel like they're the type of people where it's like, hey, they're vampires. They don't really give a shit about propriety. And
I hope not.
And like, if they could like actually be in a healthy relationship with Buffy, I feel like that is what they like. If they got to be in a healthy relationship with Buffy, if it meant all living together and Buffy getting to be in a relationship with both of them, then they probably do it.
Yeah. So is this a tin hat situation? Is this a conspiracy theory?
It is and it isn't.
Yes.
It is and it isn't. Just like my Sailor Moon ship, it's a thing that's semi-canon, but not entirely canon.
Is this one of those, like, you're going to read every micro-movement that they make?
No, okay.
Or is this...
So, in the fifth season of Angel, they have a episode called The Girl in Question, which is basically Angel and Spike going to Rome to chase after Buffy, because apparently she is in Rome right now.
Cute.
And she's dating some, like, demon creature.
Ew, why?
Called the Immortal, and, like, Spike makes an offhanded comment about, like, I want to see my girl! And then Angel looks at him and he's like, right, sorry, our girl!
Oh, that's good.
And then you find out when the comics happened that they basically, like, sort of retconned the whole situation where Buffy actually wasn't in Rome, but it was, like, a Buffy decoy?
Okay.
Because by that point they had a whole Slayer army, and so she was actually, like, leading the Slayers in Scotland, and that was just, like, somebody they disguised to look like her, so she never actually dated the Immortal.
I thought that sounded implausible, and I don't even know what's going on.
And then in the tenth season, which was part of the comic book, there actually is a scene. So, oh god, I'm getting even more inside baseball
You're
about this.
Really deep.
So, season 8 of Buffy is when, or was it season 9? Season 8 of Buffy is when basically they break all the magic and all the Slayers except Buffy lose their magic because of reasons that I don't really have time to get into. Season 9 is when they hunt to bring magic back. And then season 10 is when the vampire book that they introduced in the first season, the first episode / season of Buffy, suddenly becomes the magic Bible where everything you write into it becomes true.
Oh boy.
So it becomes the new Bible of magic. And Harmony gets her hands on it. Harmony is one of the high school meanies that was in Cordelia's clique that got turned into a vampire,
okay.
And she dated Spike for like a hot second, and he got so annoyed with her that he broke up with her, and she sort of became her own entity.
God, that is old school.
But anyway, she like makes a comment about how she thinks that Spike, Angel, and Buffy should just like admit to themselves that they all should be in a polyamorous relationship, and like wants to write it in the magic book. And like you have a panel of them like all together. Also, this isn't the first time actually, because I remember in the 8th season, like Buffy like goes through her dreamscape and they have one panel of her dreaming about being in a threesome with Spike and Angel.
Wow, okay, so now I have a tin hat on because this sounds canon.
Well, and that's the other thing is that, so the guy that was writing, because Joss Whedon was still overseeing the comics, but after season 8, he wasn't writing them anymore. And Christos Gage, who wrote season 9 and 10, was like, yeah, if there's one thing I could write about the ending of Buffy, if I was allowed to do anything, I would have Spike, Angel, and Buffy end in an OT3.
If I were allowed.
because Joss Whedon doesn't believe in alternative relationships or queerness that isn't a straight, you are either gay or not type thing.
That's rough. That is a deep... That hat's going to be on there forever. That's rough.
Well, and it's also, like, regardless of the ship, like, because in the first season of the comic book, season 8, Buffy does have, like, a relationship with another Slayer that has a crush on her, and she has sex with her, and she says, oh, well, I enjoyed having sex with you, but I'm not in love with you, and therefore I must not be gay.
Oh, no. Wait.
Yeah. And this is when Joss Whedon was writing it. And everybody else is like, wait, you had sex with a girl, Buffy? You're not gay. And so it's like, She admits to enjoying having sex with another woman, but because she does not have feelings for that woman, somehow it doesn't count. And also, you can only ever be gay or straight. You can't be bi. So I have a lot of feelings about Joss Whedon and his shittiness.
That is some challenging content. Let's get back to the good shit. If we're talking about the good shit, what are your favorite tropes for this triangle?
Oh, my fucking God. I guess my favorite tropes are the thing that I said before, which is they all sit down, have a discussion, get some therapy, and, like, actually have a wholesome relationship together.
God. Wholesomeness and therapy is a great trope for any pairing.
Well, because, like, the reason I call this my trash ship is because I say that Buffy is one of the worst TV series and also the best TV series because it definitely had some great, like... Mm-hmm. It's a good show. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, I think it was one of the things that got us through the 90s. It was a good thing for third wave feminism at the time. But a lot of stuff in it didn't age well. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the stuff about her relationships with Angel and Spike didn't age well because there's a lot of problematic content in it. But I also am fascinated by Angel and Spike as characters and, like, again, all of these intricate relationships and things going on. And so, like, I see fan fiction about them as sort of a way to redeem that problematicness and make it better by basically being like, hey, yeah, we were really shitty people. I mean, basically everybody in Buffy is shitty at one point or the other. Like,
basically everybody in life is shitty at one point.
And so, like, them, like, settling down into a healthy relationship, like, makes my inner cold, dead heart warm. Because it's like, oh, the babies finally grew up.
That's beautiful, Rhea. So, have you ever created fan content for this ship?
I have.
How much? What kind? Spill.
So, I basically went on a kick where I got really deep into the Buffy fan fiction archive of AO3. And it annoyed me because... Like, there's all this Buffy Spike stuff, there's all this Angel Spike stuff, there's all this Buffy Angel stuff, but the section about Buffy Spike and Angel is very tiny in comparison. And so I went from that to literally going through the Wayback Machine on the internet to find some of those old GeoCities websites to look for content. And while I did find some of it, a lot of it was also, like, shut down because these are dead websites that are only there in the archive. And so I basically made my own OT3 fanfic because I was like, well, if nobody else has it for me, then I'm gonna make it for myself.
Perfect. And did they go to therapy in this fic? Or,
well, it's mostly porn.
Nice.
But
listen, sometimes
in this AU they are in a mostly wholesome relationship where they did work out their differences.
So, like, hypothetically, they went to therapy and then got it on.
Yes. Great. Yes. Yes.
Great. That's a good order of operations. Go to therapy. Fuck. Great. So, what have you learned from this ship? Because it sounds like you have a really wholesome view of them, which I love very much.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily wholesome so much as, like, I think it's this idea of that, like, people can change. I mean, it's both wholesome and it's not, because it's still, like, this idea of, like, still being... Well, in Buffy, it's also sort of different because you could die at any time. And, like, the people that have superpowers are really the only ones who can understand you because you have to save the world with them. But it's, like, this idea of still being drawn to people, like, for years and having these complicated relationships.
Yeah.
And then while those complicated relationships are no doubt messy and you are no doubt had problems, this idea of sort of working through them and making those relationships better, I guess, is what appeals to me.
I love that. And has that impacted any of your interpersonal relationships in real life outside of fandom?
I mean, I guess... I think it's not necessarily impacted, but it's also sort of fit in with my philosophy of getting older and talking more about your feelings and emotions and being more open and honest with the people you love, regardless of whether or not you're in a romantic relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, and I mean, this isn't just a thing that's singled out to me, but like, as children and teenagers, we're sort of told to bottle up our emotions and not talk about them, and that they're shameful. And so there's a lot of passive aggressivity and misunderstandings and miscommunication. And I feel like the only way to get over that is to talk about things and to work it out, because with discussion, then you can start to understand the other person and build a stronger relationship.
You know what?
What?
That's beautiful. So if you could have a bit of fandom created for your ship and put into your hands right now, or your hands are into your bedroom or just wherever, what would that look like?
I just want more fic.
Just more fic.
Any
fic in particular?
I mean, I guess I want more of that wholesome shit where they went to therapy and are now, like, in, like, a happy relationship, because I feel like there's so many fics that either explore it for, like, a second, or, like, they sort of get... Well, there are some very old fics where they, like, sort of get into a situation where they're all together, and then they're like, oh, well, I guess we'll make this work. And those are, like, the fics that I like, because then it's like, oh, so it, like, explains the, like, whole situation. But it never really gets past, like, it's like the old fairy tales where you never get past the point of, oh, and then they lived happily ever after.
Ooh, yeah.
I want to see, and I feel like this is a problem with a lot of fandom in general, is that you see them get together, but then you don't get to actually see their day-to-day lives and what that relationship looks like past the initial getting together.
Yep.
Do you think? And I want more of that.
Do you think you will ever write fic for this fandom again, or is that not... In your stars.
Well, I was currently, as of like a month or two ago, writing another fic for this.
Oh, okay. All right, you're gonna be the change you want to see in the world. Good.
But it's like, well, because I had another one, so I have four fics on AO3.
You
can probably figure out which ones they are.
And you are a Hugo Award-winning author in that case.
Yes, I technically won a Hugo for my threesome smut. You're welcome. But I had another fic that I wrote that I abandoned. And I hope that I don't abandon this one, but it's, like, on my computer, sitting, waiting for me when I have... more time, and I'm not trying to do all the things at once.
Like starting a podcast. Yep. So I thought of one more question that I want to ask you, which is there anything that just gives you all the feels about this ship, like a piece of music or like anything that fuels your fandom but is not fandom itself? Like, do you have a playlist? Do you have a mixtape?
Okay, so this is not necessarily. So for a while, I got really into looking up YouTube videos of panels that the Buffy cast did. And James Marsters was asked at one of these panels, what do you think is a song that represents Buffy and Spike's relationship? And he thought about it for a second. And then started singing Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus. And I was like, this is hilarious and dumb, and I love this song anyway, so thank you, sir.
That is iconic. I love that. Beautiful.
Thank you, sir.
I think that's a good wrap up. That is the essence of Angel Spike and
Buffy.
Teenage dirtbags.
Teenage dirtbags.
All of us. We were all the dirtbags. But thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We don't have a snappy sign out yet, but we'll think of something. We do, however, have a Twitter account.
We do.
It is
and an
email. We are defendyourship@gmail.com, and we are defendyourship on Twitter. So if you are interested in screaming about your ship with us, we would absolutely love to hear it. If you have any wholesome fic recs for Raina,
please
send them along. We're in such dire need over here. So until next time, this has been Defend Your Ship. Go get wrecked.
In a good way.
In a good way.